Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed in their slice of the planet, making absolute the best of your current situation. Trust me when I tell you, good things are about to come. Just things are just getting better and better every day. I was talking to a few of my friends and colleagues, and quite coincidentally, they're from, you know, many places around the world, as a matter of fact, and literally, you know, and which makes a nice forum. And it was kind of interesting because I heard this. It must have been some type of broadcast or something that took place yesterday that I didn't catch, I missed, but because this couldn't have been, you know, that much of a coincidence on this particular subject. But they were saying that 62 people, wealthy people, are the wealthiest people in the world, control more wealth than most of the people on the rest of the people on the entire planet, which is pretty mind boggling. I understand it. I know of some of those people and some of those power families and things of that nature, but it is kind of mind boggling. It is kind of mind boggling, especially when you first hear about it. You know, and obviously this was the first that they've heard of, but 62 people control more wealth than the people on the entire planet. So you got billions of people on the planet, and only 62 people control most or the majority of the wealth on the entire planet. That's pretty mind-boggling. But anyhow, today is January the 19th. I had to come back today. I'm super tired, so forgive me on that. Been up all night working hard and trying to, you know, collect information and, you know, share things with people and just do great things. You know, this broadcast is about doing great works, doing good works, and right works and righteous works, you know, and for the sake and betterment of all mankind, you know. This is no joke broadcast right here. My intention, our intention is to help mankind coexist, you know, on this planet. You know, I'm a firm believer that we can achieve on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and let his will be done. You know, we've kind of been taken down a jagged path for several years, and more specifically, the last 216 years. And now it is time for us to be on course correction, smoothing out the rough edges of our evolution, and you know, intelligently seeing other people as who and what they are, fellow man, and being able to take the initiative to cohabitate this planet, in a more harmonious way. We can do this. You know, this is, you know, I do it every day. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And it's just about a frame of mind and a state of being. So anyhow, like I said, today is January the 19th, 2016. The name of this broadcast, let me get over here. Hold on just a moment. I want to get it correct, so just a moment. Oh, let me take a moment to thank everybody that comes out to the broadcast, listen to the broadcast. Let me do that first and foremost. Numbers are growing greatly, and that's a wonderful thing. That will certainly keep me coming here, sharing information with everyone. The ears of influence. I'm glad that you tune in. I know I say keywords so that you will tune in. This is Good Stuff Radio. We're bringing forward, facts, not fiction, research, not rhetoric, and we want to make a better place. And it always, like I said, Michael Jackson says, take a look at yourself. If you want to make a change, take a look at yourself and make that change. Okay, and we are the world. The name of this broadcast is Breaking News. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, both ineligible to be president of this great nation, of this United States of America. Now, yesterday I said I made the broadcast, and after I put it out there, I kind of did this a little bass-ackwardly. But after I put it out there, I said, oh, my goodness, because I talked to a very intellectual African friend of mine. He's a research kind of guru-type person, very, very intelligent guy, very, very well-studied. Graduated on the top of his class, on a university here in America. Just a very astute gentleman and a good friend. And we were talking about Ted Cruz in the wee hours of the morning and debating the issue of his birthright and being a natural-born citizen, which he did come back with, some explanation of a natural-born citizen. It wasn't complete, though, and it wasn't as concise as it was not settling, with me. And he raised the issue of dual citizenship, which made me kind of sit back and think for a moment of the possibility of this, being the case in, Mr. Cruz's situation here. But it does not apply, okay? In this particular case, I did some research and found some great stuff, and I think that this is probably going to hit the media and the airways fairly quickly after this broadcast. It should. I hope and pray that it does. Because if not, what you're listening to is this media fluff. You're just listening to media noise and chatter. Because the top three candidates, including Mr. Trump, he opened his mouth and put his foot dead in the middle of it last night, and we're going to touch on that, and this pretty much will disqualify him as well. This is very moving and earth-shaking, it really, really is. But at the end of the day, this is what we're about. This is what this broadcast is about, is truth. You see, our tags are truth, spirituality, religion, conspiracy, politics, economy, and the news are current, and we're under current events. So this is what it's all about. I hope everything is rolling now, because if not, then I'll come back and do it again. We're gonna definitely get this on here. This is very, very important. Let me see. Let me just make sure. Well, it says it. I'm on air, so we'll see. I don't see any lights or anything like that. But if not, then like I said, I'll come back and do this one again. This is really, really important. But anyhow, this is going to be a read a commentary, and I pulled down some information so that we could be clear on this natural-born citizenship issue regarding the presidential candidate. Now, this article and this finding was by Mary Bridget McManaman, and she is a constitutional law professor at Wiener University's Delaware Law School, or School of Law. Now, the Delaware schools and schools of law are very, very founded and grounded in what they do and what they teach their students in that particular part of the country. Because this is the birthplace, you know, of a lot of colonial and constitutional writings and doctrines that govern this United States of America. So they are well-grounded and well-rooted in the educational process and criteria that they teach there in that particular region, in this school as well. But anyhow, I'm going to read. The Constitution provides that no person except a natural-born citizen shall be eligible to the office of president of the United States. Now, the concept of natural-born, quote-unquote natural-born, comes from common law, and it is the law the Supreme Court has said we must turn to for the concept's definition. On this subject, common law is clear and unambiguous. The 18th century English journalist, or jurist, excuse me, William Blackstone, the preeminent authority on it, declared natural-born citizens are such as are born within the dominions of the Crown of England, while aliens are such as are born out of it, okay, as it pertains to England. And, of course, you know, coming to America and all this other kind of stuff, you know, these laws were transferred. Now, the key to this division is the assumption of allegiance to one's country of birth. The Americans who drafted the Constitution adopted this principle for the United States. James Madison, known as the father of the Constitution, stated, "It is an established maxim that birth is a criterion of allegiance, and place is most certain the criterion. It is what applies in the United States." That birth is a criterion of allegiance, and a place where this certain criterion has taken place, it is what applies to these United States. Now, Cruz is, of course, a U.S. citizen. As he was born in Canada, he is not a natural-born citizen. This is the cutting divide here. His mother, however, is an American, and Congress has provided by statute for the naturalization of children born abroad to citizens. Because of the senator's patronage or parentage, he did not have to follow the lengthy naturalization process that aliens without American parents must undergo. Instead, Cruz was naturalized at birth. Okay? This provision has not always been available. For example, there were several decades in the 19th century when children of Americans born abroad were not given automatic naturalization. Article 1 of the Constitution grants Congress the power to naturalize an alien. That is, Congress may remove an alien's legal disabilities, such as not being allowed to vote. But Article 2 of the Constitution expressly adopts the legal status of the natural-born citizen and requires that a president possesses that status. Naturalization and natural-born are two different things. However, we feel about allowing naturalized immigrants to reach for the stars. The Constitution must be amended before one of them can attain the office of president. So the Constitution itself would have to be amended, and it has not been as of such date. Congress simply does not have the power to convert someone born outside the United States into a natural-born citizen. Now, let me be clear. I'm not what you call a so-called birther or anything like that. This lady is not either. She says that she's just a legal historian. Now, President Obama is without question eligible for the office he serves. The distinction between the president and Cruz is simple. The president was born within the United States or Hawaii. And the senator was born outside of it, of this United States. This is the distinction and the difference. In the election cycle, numerous pundits have declared that Cruz is ineligible to be president. They rely upon supposed consensus among legal experts. The notion appears to emanate largely from a recent comment in the Harvard Law Review Forum by former Solicitor General Neil Katyal and Paul Clement in trying to put the question of who is a natural-born citizen to rest. However, the authors misunderstand, misapply, and ignore the relevant law. First, although Katyal and Clement correctly declared that the Supreme Court has recognized the common law is useful to explain constitutional terms, they ignore that law. Instead, they rely on three radical 18th century British statutes. While it is understandable for a layperson to make such a mistake, it is unforgivable for two lawyers of such experience to equate the common law to statutory law. This is a big difference here. The common law was unequivocal, okay? Natural-born subjects had to be born in English territory, period. The then new statutes were a revolutionary departure from the law. Second, the authors appropriately asked the question whether the Constitution includes the common law definition or the statutory approach, but they failed to examine any U.S. sources for the answer. Instead, Katyal and Clement referred to the brand new British statute as part of the longstanding tradition and conclude that the framers followed that law because they, quote, would have been immediately familiar with these statutes, end quote. But when one reviews all the relevant American writings of the early period, including congressional debates, well-respected Supreme Court precedent, it becomes clear that the common law definition was accepted in the United States, not the newfangled British statutory approach. The common law definition was accepted in these United States, not the newfangled British statutory approach. Third, Katyal and Clement put much weight on the first U.S. naturalization statute enacted in 1790 because it contains the phrase natural born. They infer that such citizens must include children born abroad to American parents. The first Congress, however, had no such intent. The debate on the matter revealed that the congressmen were aware that such children were not citizens and had to be naturalized. Hence, Congress enacted a statute to provide for them. I'm so proud of that. Moreover, the statutes did not say the children were natural born, only that they should be considered as such. And I quote, be considered as such. Finally, as soon as Madison, then a member of Congress, was assigned to redraft the Constitution or the statutes in 1795, he deleted the phrase natural born. He caught it and he deleted it. And it has never reappeared in the naturalization statutes. Okay? He caught it and he removed it. All right. Because it was not correct. There was two different things. When discussing the meaning of the constitutional term, it is important to go beyond secondary sources and look to the law itself. And on this issue, the law is clear. And this is the framework that I was talking about yesterday. I knew there had to be a framework. And the framers of the Constitution required the President of the United States to be born in the United States, period. I knew there had to be some framework there. I just found it. So anyhow, that really takes care of Mr. Cruz, because his mother, he wasn't born in the United States. His mother was a citizen of Canada. His father was a citizen of Canada. He was born in Canada. Even though his father was, let's just read some more. According to the Canadian Citizenship Act of 1946, also referred to as the Act of 1947 because of its effective date, Canada did not allow dual citizenship. This answers the issue of could it be dual citizenship. This was the first Citizenship Act in Canada to create a new citizenship status separate from being considered British subjects. With the pride of a nation first enacting the right to become Canadian citizens, it would stand to reason why they also chose at the time to not allow dual citizenship. Okay? This was the Act of 1946 and 1947, Canadian Citizenship Act. According to the Government of Canada's website, the heading History of Citizenship Legislation states the following. It was not until the passage of the Citizenship Act effective on February 15th of 1977 that the eligibility to hold dual citizenship was changed. Mr. Cruz was born in 1970, I do believe. In the following years, Canada has continued to go in the direction of granting increasingly more generous grounds for automatic Canadian citizenship, seemingly in an attempt to continue the strengthening of the Canadian nationalism. To learn more about the beginning growth of the Canadian nationalism, you can read the Government of Canada archive, Forging Our Legacy, Canadian Citizenship and Immigration, 1900 to 1977. In order for Ted Cruz to have become a U.S. citizen at birth in 1970, he was born in 1970, okay, his mother would have had to obtain exclusive citizenship to the United States and file a CRBA, a consular report of birth abroad, to obtain exclusive U.S. citizenship at the time for her son Ted, and to renounce his automatic naturally acquired Canadian citizenship. And we know that this did not take place. The process in itself considered a very abbreviated form of naturalization, not natural born, but naturalization. This is the splitting hair here. Thereby making such persons born outside of the official territories of the United States absolutely ineligible to become president of these United States, in at least this one circumstance alone. Given that Canadian law did not allow for dual citizenship at the time, then if his mother filed a CRBA in 1970, his Canadian citizenship would likely have needed to be renounced before the new U.S. citizenship could even be granted. So there's a dual process that would have had to have taken place. It did not. And here's why. Well, let me read further, but we're going to conclude this. Because Mr. Cruz put the pen in the ink here, if you will, the feather in the ink. Ted's father has publicly admitted to becoming a Canadian citizen in 1968. If his mother's first husband was surname of Wilson, was also a Canadian citizen, unconfirmed, she would have become a citizen before his father. Even if her first husband was not a Canadian, according to Canadian law, she would have still automatically become a Canadian citizen in 1969 after having a Canadian spouse, Ted's father, and residing in Canada for more than 1 year. This information substantiates the reports claiming that both of his parents appeared on the Canadian voters' rolls. I told you that yesterday. There is now an unconfirmed claim that someone has supposedly verified that they indeed both voted in the October of 1972 federal Canadian election. Now, this is probably something that can be easily confirmed, but it doesn't even really need to be. The framework is what is important here. And both of Ted's parents become exclusive citizens of Canada by 1969, then even if his mother tried to file a CRBA, she would not have been able to confer U.S. citizenship to her son, as she was no longer a U.S. citizen herself. Even if she somehow retained U.S. citizenship, Ted could not have been granted dual citizenship, as it was against Canadian law, the Canadian Act. The only thing that is certain is that Ted Cruz automatically became a citizen the instant he was born in Canada on Canadian soil, and the fact is absolutely irrefutable. Likewise, the release of his mother's birth certificate certainly settles absolutely nothing. Ted Cruz did not renounce his Canadian citizenship, check this out, folks, until 2014, all the FOIA requests have been denied, requesting a copy of a CRBA, and he has not released it or any other naturalization papers. There is currently no proof available to show he ever became a U.S. citizen. Furthermore, it is perfectly understandable that he would not want to release such any naturalization document, as one cannot be considered for both naturalized and natural born. Can't be both. Senator Cruz has repeatedly claimed that he did not have to go through any type of naturalization process, including the CRBA, that he was automatically a U.S. citizen by birth, but does not match U.S. law for persons born in another country. If indeed that was just assumed and nothing was ever filed to correct the erroneous assumption, then he never has even become a U.S. citizen. And referring to a previous article, Ted Cruz must show naturalization paper to keep his U.S. Senate seat. Now, that puts him in the box, turns the key, and tosses it in the river. That's pretty much a done deal. All right, now even though Marco Rubio also can't be a natural born citizen, and is instead considered an anchor baby, quote unquote anchor baby, his parents did become U.S. citizens 4 years after his birth. In other words, he was born here in America. As an anchor, what they call anchor baby. He is therefore legally able to serve in the U.S. Senate regardless of your interpretation of birthright citizenship. He can be a senator, but he can't be a president. And so they got 90 seconds. I'm going to keep on reading here. Contrary to the recent blatant false headlines, there have been at least now 5 lawsuits filed in 5 different states challenging Ted Cruz's eligibility to become president. A majority of these also equally challenge Marco Rubio eligibility to even though it is rarely reported. See, they don't want to report, they don't want to put this out there because this is media. I got 60 seconds to love everyone, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. And I'm going to keep on reading. Hopefully I'll get a few more minutes here because this is great stuff. Now, these are rarely reported because the media will lose millions in revenue. I mean, and the Republican Party, the Republican candidacy for president will just be blown apart, annihilated, obliterated, okay? They don't want this to get out. But this broadcast right here, we're here to give facts and set the record straight. This is what it's all about. Okay, so I got 10 seconds, but I'm going to keep on reading. Now, these states were New Hampshire, Vermont, Florida, Illinois, and Texas. Folks, these are some powerful states right here. You know, they have strong Republican roots. Now, this is where these things, these were filed. These challenges, these lawsuits were filed. Now, both of these guys got lawsuits filed against them. How can they be clear to run for president with all of this back activity going on? Every Republican candidate running for president should be immediately filing lawsuits to have both Mr. Ted Cruz and Mr. Marco Rubio removed from the presidential contest, as their continued participation presents an unlawful detriment to everyone else's candidacy. I told you this yesterday. Now we got confirmation. Now we can close the book on this once and for all. And it would be most honorable for Mr. Cruz and Mr. Rubio to do so in time. Step down. It is what it is. Natural born, naturalization, two different things, two different concepts, two different origins, two different meanings, two different laws. No one is above the law, folks. No one. Now, with Mr. Trump open his mouth, insert foot, saying in front of thousands of evangelicals yesterday evening, 2 Corinthians, he was reading out of the Bible, folks. Now, reading out of the Bible, and he said, and I quote, 2 Corinthians. Let's look in 2 Corinthians here, not 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians. This, to me, means that he has never even read the Bible, nor has anyone read it to him. Been to many church services, if any, and if I'm not mistaken, this is one nation under God. And if you have never familiarized yourself with the writings and the teachings of God and Yeshua, the law that governs this great nation, there's a great, great possibility you may not even believe in God himself. You very well could be an atheist, folks. And we dare not put an atheist over this great nation. In the eyes of God, it would be the uttermost sin. Folks, it is what it is, you know, and the good Lord has a way of revealing those in time so that we won't have to go down the line and further and discover something that we have to do so much to correct. He just has a way. I know my God. I know our God. And he has a way of doing things. This was not a mistake, half a chance, or, you know, it was certainly an error on the behalf of Mr. Trump, but it exposed, you know, who and what he really is. Now, you can just, you know, take it for what it is, or whatever the case, but anybody that is a true child of God and has had any familiarity or familiarization with the scripture, with the Bible, knows how to at least pronounce the headings that they have heard once, twice, or many times over. And this concerns me. So, with that being said, all three at the leading on the Republican side should and must step down now and going forward. And let it be what it's going to be. You know? Real is real. Fact is fact. And, you know, we can't deal with the element of deception and deceit. Not in this great time for this great nation. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. I wanted to come out and share this with any and everyone. The ears of influence. Let's move forward. make the corrections. We don't want this to come out, you know, come up, you know, months down the line, and everybody's in, you know, running in the thick of things and stuff, and everybody's like, wait a minute, what's this all about? Then everybody's got egg on their face and got, has so much to, you know, deal with, correct and explain and all this other kind of stuff. Lawsuits, 5 will be 15, will be 50. It will be such a, you know, conundrum, just a, it'd just be too much for these guys to withstand trying to become the president of this great nation. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. We'll see you on the next broadcast. We got some other stuff, good stuff coming. So come on back and join me and tell people. This is here. We're here to make things better. Make it, you know. So just do that. Tell people. And until the next broadcast, take care. And so long for now.